Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yotis B, Sportive Time. We're back. It's me and John. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Good. You are just the Iron Man of the podcast lately.
I enjoy talking to you guys so much that even if we're going to talk for 49 minutes about Ryan Saunders, I'm here. I'm here for it. I want to be
we
here.
We just might. So we were thinking we're going to start with the Wolves. We'll talk about them for a little bit. And then we, of course, want to we talk about Kirk Cousins every episode, and we can't stop our streak now. So we're going to get to him in a little bit. And then we're also going to talk Twins at some point, too. So I think we've got those three topics. I'm reticent, but I think I'm ready to talk about the Timberwolves.
I just want to say, for the purposes of this episode, there is no such thing as rant probation.
That's right. That's right.
All rant limits have been removed.
Just temporarily, right? Because I think
just temporarily. Of course, just temporarily.
It's a one night bender, and then I'll check myself right back in to Hazleton tomorrow.
Yeah, that's how all of the experts say you want to go about doing rehab. Is you have a cheat day in the middle of rehab.
Yeah.
That
the guardrails, they're important.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So. We want to talk about the Chris Finch hiring. We don't need to have a nickname for this guy because his name is Chris Finch. It doesn't get any easier than that. So it's usually
honestly,
one of our favorite things when a new person gets on the scene is to make a funny nickname for him because the joke is that we are old and don't know how to pronounce anything just because we're old dads. But when something comes up like this, what are we going to do with Chris Finch?
Honestly, we were discussing him via text earlier today. And we were just referring to him by his last name, Finch. And the whole thing, as we were discussing, I realized that I couldn't remember for sure what his first name was. Mm-hmm. So, Jim popped into my head, but that's probably based on former Vikings general manager Jim Finks. So I might just call him Jim Finks.
That's fine.
Also,
Jim Finks.
Do you remember the movie American Pie? There was a character in that called Paul Finch, and that also popped into my head. So
yeah,
there's every chance that despite having a two-syllable, 10-letter, easy-to-remember name, I'm still going to regularly get Chris Finch's name wrong.
It reminded me, knowing just how simple this guy's name is when the Twins a couple months ago signed a guy, and I think his name is Kyle Garlick. And I was like, God damn it, that is the most sportive name I've ever heard in my life.
That's
and
correct.
He actually is saddled with a sportive name.
That's his
Kyle
real
Garlic.
Name.
he's obviously in witness protection program, so we won't spoil anything more or look into him. But anyway.
Do you remember when the Twins had a guy named Johnny Field? That was his actual name, Johnny Field.
Johnny Field.
There's no more witness protection name than that. Yeah. What do you do? You're a ball player? All right, your name's Johnny Field.
Johnny Field. Okay, let's talk. So the news came down. We're recording this on a Tuesday night. It must have been Sunday night, right? 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. They lost once again to the New York Knicks, who are awful. They played another very weird game where they were down by 50 and then lost by, and then they were up with a minute left and then still somehow lost, as they do most every game, not tonight. They're just getting their asses handed to them tonight in a regular way, which is fun and different way to lose. And then after that game, Saunders was canned, which was not really that shocking, I don't think. Were you surprised by the news?
No, although from the sounds of it, he was canned before the game started, but it
no
wasn't.
Way.
Well, apparently the Raptors coach came out and said that that same night that Saunders was coaching against the Knicks, they already knew that Finch was out the door and so blah, blah, blah. And so by the sounds of it, this was decided a while ago, but then they lost to the Knicks, and you wonder what would happen if they beat the Knicks? I mean, it would have been one more game, and then they would have gotten absolutely handled tonight, and they probably would have fired him then and there, but it's just, yeah. It's interesting to hear that sort of alternate history, knowing the way it worked out, which was, I mean, for the last month, like you said, the I almost called them the Vikings. For the last month, the Timberwolves have been losing in the exact same way. They've lost every game they played by exactly 4 points for a solid month. And you can sort of understand how eventually doing that 14 games in a row would start to wear on somebody.
Yeah. But I think he was going to get fired no matter what. When Tibbs got fired a couple years ago, it was off a really impressive win. So,
oh, that's right. I have a vague memory of that.
So the Saunders firing, yeah, I think it that was really more of a win, not if. He was just seemed very clearly over his head in a lot of different ways. And so that part came, the news came through, and it was like, oh, all right, cool. I guess that makes sense. But going outside the organization to find a guy instead of doing the interim thing is very rare.
Right.
According to the smart guys on the smart NBA guys, it's happened like once in the last 12 years, one time.
Right.
So it's unconventional, but still seems the idea of going outside the organization to get the guy that you want, I think is fine. It's bold. I don't take much issue with that at all. Doing so to get a, you know, lifelong assistant sort of guy who Rosas worked with, you know, 10 years ago is a little goofier. If that's your guy, it seems to do a lot for a guy who, again, I can't imagine he's going to necessarily be in high demand.
No. It didn't seem like they were competing against a lot of other teams to make sure they locked him up.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of other pushback, and justifiably, but the Wolves have a guy on their bench, David Vanderpool, who's very highly respected in league circles, at least, was on Portland's staff for a very long time, and it's got a lot of fans over there. And so if you were going to go the interim route, he seemed like he was the obvious next man up, which would have been a fine thing to do as well. So I think some people took some issue with kind of in his own way a country club hire on for Rosas, not Taylor this time.
I know that was what particularly struck me, is that it's like Rosas being the ultimate outsider, the guy that was going to bring they were going to bring in to shake things up, has instead just been infected by the Timberwolves country club mentality and been like, we need a new coach. Let me get the one guy that I hired as a coach once before. We're just going to get that guy because I know who he is, and his number is already in my phone. This is perfect.
Right. It's the easiest. I'll just text him the offer.
I don't even have to call around to get his number. I can just go directly to him. This is the main criteria the Timberwolves have used in hiring any coach for the last 30 years.
So I guess the progress here is it's at least a different country club.
Right. They brought in the staff of an entirely different country club.
Whole new country club. The game done changed.
Yep. Oh, no. We don't do things the Minnetonka way anymore. We brought over everybody from Interlochen, and they're all the members here now. And that's what we're going to do. That's how we run the Timberwolves. On the subject of David Vanderpool, I get why people are unhappy about it, and I get I get why it looks bad, and it probably is bad, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I can't help but point out is that supposedly David Vanderpool was going to overhaul the Timberwolves' defense over the past 2 years, and they have been pretty much garbage on the defensive end for 2 years. Now, a lot of that is not David Vanderpool's fault because you can't make chicken salad out of chicken bones, you know what I mean? But in the same way, it's not like the defense had magically shaped up and the Wolves were the only people that couldn't see this genius coaching job that David Vanderpool had done over the last 2 years. Obviously, we don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes, and maybe he's been a amazing mentor, just like Damian Lillard and the other guys from Portland said that he was while he was in Portland, and maybe that's true, and I have no idea what the truth is there. But in terms of actual results, and if he truly was the quote-unquote defensive coordinator for the Timberwolves, you can't really get too excited about his coaching effort over the last few years.
Right. I think the best their defense has been as 23rd. It's been somewhere between like 23rd and 27th or 28th all year, depending on the game. And that's not great. He does have a personnel issue, totally, but it doesn't scream next coach no matter what, if that's specifically his job responsibility. Plus, I think there's also, if any organization really on planet Earth needs new blood, the Timberwolves are that organization. So, you know, that aspect too, I think, is helpful. But
and I get that the other thing people said was that there wasn't a search and there wasn't a process. And it was amazing that the time between John Krasinski tweeting the Wolves have fired Ryan Saunders and Shams Charania tweeting the Wolves have hired Chris Finch, it was literally like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It was not... Right. It wasn't like 2 days of speculation or anything. It was bing, bing. This is, you can only imagine that Saunders found out he was fired because Chris Finch showed up with all of his stuff right at the like, hey, is this coach's office? Yeah. Oh, great. So Roses said he would be here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just wait
to talk
around
to him. Yeah. Yeah, that part felt very, very calculated. I don't know. I guess I
don't know is the correct response.
Yeah. It's very much an I don't know hire. It's not the obvious disaster hire that we remember from the good old days of when we heard David Kahn's name for the first time and we laughed and laughed. It's not as bad as when we heard Kurt Rambis's name for the first time.
You know, I recall Kurt Rambis being like an up-and-coming coaching star that everyone was excited about.
Do you?
That was my
memory.
I remember
the opposite.
Well, obviously it didn't turn out very well, but...
Yeah, no, I don't know how I had been sort of tuned into... He was... I guess I had just read from like Laker. He was like the assistant for Phil Jackson, I think, and had just heard... I don't even know how, but he was a disaster.
Disaster.
Randy Whitman.
Yep.
Jesus. Well, so there were, I don't know.
It's, we talk a lot about that sort of ditch to ditch mentality that most teams have where first you got Tom Thibodeau, who everybody hates and everybody just wants gone. And then they hire Ryan Saunders, who everybody loves and wants to succeed. And you just go back and forth between players coach, not a players coach. And I guess in some ways they sort of did that too, because they've gone from Ryan Saunders, the son of the beloved now deceased coach that everyone loves and has watched come up through the assistant ranks and with the Gophers and everything else. They've gone from him to a guy that 99% of Timberwolves fans, even now after he's coached a game, can't pick out of a lineup.
Yeah. My question for you is, what on earth did Dave Yeager do to Glenn Taylor to not get this job? He's got to be the most confused person on the planet of like, hold up. There was an opening for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm a Minnesotan. I've been carrying Glenn's water. I've been washing his car for him, detailing, vacuuming the interior, anything he had ever wanted from the get-go. How on earth did I not get that job? He's an assistant coach right now for the Sixers. It's not like he's not around.
Wasn't he the coach in Memphis for a while? Didn't he coach
He was
them?
A coach in Memphis for like 3 years, did pretty well, was a coach in Sacramento for 3 years. It's impossible to know the situation in Sacramento because, you know, guys cycle in and out of there every 2 years.
Yeah, Sacramento is the West Coast Minnesota when it comes to teams.
Yes, exactly. But he just felt like the perfect next country club hire. So I'm sure Jaeger is like, okay, now you go to Interlaken versus Minicata. I've been the Minicata guy the whole time, and you guys, I'm amazed though. I always just, if there was going to be like Vegas odds on next Timberwolves coach, I would have just have been placing all my chips on Dave Jaeger.
Has Jaeger ever come out and said whether he actually wants to come to Minnesota? And the reason I ask is this. So you might not have been as versed in the Sid Hartman minutiae as I was, given that I read Sid's column and my dad always listened to Sid's radio show on Sundays and stuff. So
you have me beat.
Dave Jaeger reminds me of every time the Vikings had any sort of inkling that they might make a coaching change, everybody led by Sid was on this bandwagon of, well, they might be looking at hiring Mike Shanahan because Mike Shanahan was, I think, a defensive backs coach for 1 year with the Gophers or something like that.
Oh, and, right.
Or, I mean, this was true when the Gophers job would open up too. Oh, Pete Carroll might be coming here. Well, Pete Carroll was, like I say, a graduate assistant for a year or something with the Vikings or with the Gophers. I can't remember either of their backstories. But both of them had this tiny little tenuous Minnesota connection. And that was enough forever to be like, well, they want to come here. They're one of us
angle.
Now. Pete Carroll, Mike Shanahan, they're definitely. And as I recall, it even carried over a little bit to Kyle Shanahan. Like, oh, Mike Shanahan was a coach here in 1973 for 1 year. So, therefore.
So Kyle's heard of Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah. His dad talked about it once, probably.
So, in some ways, Dave Jaeger feels a little bit like, you can imagine Sid yelling at Glenn Taylor on his radio show, what about this Jaeger guy? Why don't you hire him? Etc. All that is to say, I don't know anything about Dave Jaeger besides what I've already said in that he's from Minnesota.
He's from Staples, Minnesota. He has been a head coach for a long time. He's 47 years old. He's a current assistant coach. On paper, the most obvious guy to get the Wolves job.
Well, that's why we're going ditch to ditch here. We've gone to a guy that nobody has heard of ever.
Jaeger will be up next. Yeah. I guess that's probably how the way it's going to work.
Possibly within the week, given how tonight's game went.
And Glenn Taylor's just going to be, see, I told you, you got to stick with me.
That's right.
I have great basketball instincts. Yeah, so I'm good with new blood. He definitely seems like, again, he's not an obvious disaster hire by any means. He's of course, has the experience. He's been an assistant for a bunch of teams. He had a lot of success, albeit in the G League, as a head coach. He seems fine. He seems like a fine hire. I'm not super pumped about it. But then again, can beggars be choosers in this scenario? Wolves. We're not going to get the best.
Who would have been a home run hire?
Mike D'Antoni?
I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not. I feel like it's not the same way as it is in maybe the NFL or even college coaching, where everybody has some idea of who they definitely want to hire.
Yeah, right. I don't know if there is.
I don't know. Hire Kevin Garnett? I've heard of Kevin
Garnett before. Yeah, there's no obvious like Eric Bieniemy,
right?
Assistant coach, stud. You know, just because you obviously know this. It's such a player-led organization. It's really hard to be like, well, Jesus, just go get the Golden State assistant coach because you know Curry is. You know, it's like it doesn't make any sense. And we've talked about it, but the past is littered with the number two guy at a really good team being a terrible coach.
Kurt Rambis.
You know, not being in charge. The Kurt Rambis theory theorem. So, I don't know. I don't even know what. Honestly, Dave Jaeger probably does seem like he'd be more inspiring. At least he coached for like 8 years as a as a head coach and was good. But it just feels like one of those, like, man, this Rosas guy, Gilda Radner, as we call him, he has been on the job for like 2 years and he has taken some swings. This dude has been very aggressive, which I love. I think it's great. Of course, they lost, I think, by 30 tonight, and they're easily the worst team in the league in a year when there's a bunch of really bad teams. So,
they're a special brand of bad this year.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
There are teams that are intentionally bad, like the Sixers used to be, and there mm-hmm. are teams that try hard but are just filled with terrible players, and so they're obviously bad. But mm-hmm. the Timberwolves are almost good bad, which is mm-hmm. a very strange kind of bad. I mean, they got beat by 30 tonight, but like I said, for a month, they've been losing by 4 points every game, and mm-hmm. it's not too shocking to see that and go, well, they could have won almost every one of those games, and if they had only won half of those games, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. And I don't know, I've gotten so used to the truly terrible teams in every league being teams that are intentionally and obviously trying to be terrible, that mm-hmm. it's absurd. Their incentives don't even line up to be terrible, because even if they're the worst team in the league, they're probably going to lose their first round draft pick. So they have mm-hmm. literally no incentive to be terrible. It's not mm-hmm. even a secret tanking job. They just are terrible despite being almost good.
Yeah.
And
they have,
it's hard to believe.
They play 10 guys. You're going to want to watch. You're going to be interested as a fan in pretty much all 10 of them.
Right.
They're either young or they're you know, Karl-Anthony Towns or Beasley or like a solid pro. And three of those 10 every game are going to have really good games.
Right.
So you're going to watch a game and they're going to lose by 11. And then, but Naz Reid will have 19 points, and Jordan McLaughlin will have 16 points and 7 assists, and it'll be a Jordan or I don't know. Malik Beasley will have 27 points. So right. It'll be three. Oh, that was really fun. Those guys, I can see those guys being really good in the future. But then there's going to be 7 other guys who had horseshit nights, and then it will just continue to rotate all the way around every single game. So you can't pick out, like, well, these are the guys that are good and these are the guys that are bad. Play these good guys more often, because you don't even know which night which one of them will be good.
Well, it was like that other night they played Indiana, and I think Towns had 30 and Beasley had 20 and Rubio had 20 and 10 and Naz Reid had 20 off the bench. And they still managed to lose because Indiana hit literally every three-pointer they took in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
How does this stuff happen?
Oh, man. I know. It's the weirdest Wolves team I can remember in so long. There's so much more hope than the average year for them. Now, again, insert the laugh track here. And I say this every single time we talk about them, but I feel the need to continue to say it. They will suck forever. There's no
no actual optimism.
They're never
part of this.
They're never going to be good. But there is, like, if you didn't know the history of the Wolves or the owner of the Wolves or anything, you'd look at this team and be like, oh, well, they're the youngest team in the league. They are competitive. They do have guys who should get better. There is, for a normal organization, a ton of hope. If we were talking about the Charlotte Hornets right now with this roster, you'd be like, oh, cool. Yeah, those guys are fun. They suck, but they're fun. Different than, as you said, the tanking Sixers or some of these teams in the past of, like, they suck and they're old as well, like the Pistons right now.
Right.
Go take a look at the Pistons roster.
The Pistons basically since about 2008, I feel, have been in the same. Like, somehow Tayshaun Prince is still playing 30 minutes a night for the Pistons.
And they don't have fun young guys. I mean, they got a couple, maybe, but, you know, the Orlando Magic. We talked about the Sacramento Kings, like low ceiling bad teams. That's been the Wolves, too, for pretty much every single season. You know, trying to talk yourself into, like, boy, if Peck could stay healthy and, geez, if Love could, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's not that. So they are an interesting team. You know, my third grader, Jones, plays basketball. And he had a tournament a couple weeks ago. And so they usually play, it's either third or fourth grade. Sometimes they'll play up. And fourth graders, I have no idea. Sometimes they're like my size.
Right.
So then they'll lose, you know, 50-7 or something. But anyway, in this tournament, we show up, we're warming up, and the other team shows up, and they are the tiniest little human beings I've ever seen in my life. They are. I have a kindergartner, too. My kindergartner was the same size as some of these guys. And we're like, what? So then we walk over and talk to the coaches, and they're like, well, we're organized by a church, not a city, and there's just a bunch of young. We realized within this church congregation.
This church is
only
for little people.
We realized in this congregation a bunch of our parents had like played college basketball, and so they have these kids who they think are gonna really highly skilled kids, but they're in first grade, and there's a third and fourth grade tournament. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, oh, that's really cool. It's so good for these kids. I mean, you've played sports before. That's how you get better when you're a kid. You play better teams than you. And we're like, okay, that'll be fun. We're so much bigger than these guys, but it'll be a good learning lesson for them. And so we look at them shoot, and there's little tiny kids that can barely get it up, but they're really skilled kids. They can dribble really well and shoot really well. So, you know, we gather our kids up and we say, boy, you know, they're obviously a lot smaller than us, but you never know. They might be quicker and they can definitely shoot really well and dribble. So you gotta play hard, guys. I mean, I know it's kind of funny that they're this much shorter than us, but that doesn't really mean anything in basketball. And I think the other team scored like 6 points. Okay. I think it was like 37-6. I mean, you know that, right? I mean, and you could see these parents, you know, first 4 or 5 possessions. That's okay. That's okay. Good job. Oh, that's really, you know, nice try. Nice try. But after about halftime, they're just head in their hands, can barely look up. Just, it took everything out of them. And those parents are us as Wolves fans.
Right.
It's just like, I get it. I totally can squint and see what Edwards could become. And Jaden McDaniels is awesome. And all these other, like, again, Naz Reid and McLaughlin are like 21 years old. So much potential. But man, watching them get there and just fumble and blow every single lead when these grown-up teams who barely even... Some of them don't even really care about winning that much. They're just like, okay. Oh, my God, all right. Well, if you're just going to throw it right to me, I guess I'm going to have to steal it from you.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, like, pick me up, I guess I'll just... Yeah. Like, Edwards, if you're not going to even guard me, all right, dude, I'll shoot, I guess.
I feel like I have to do something here. If nothing else, so you learn.
So it's been a season to remember, that's for sure. It's been a new kind of pain that I wasn't expecting.
It's just, and
it hurts a little better.
I think it's more frustrating this way. I have been super frustrated watching the team because it's just, you want them to do so well and they come close to doing so well, and eventually you just are so frustrated watching the game that you want to throw the remote through your television. And
oh yeah, I've taken mental breaks from them.
Not because they're terrible. There's so many years where the Wolves, it's just like, I'm going to turn this off because if they can't be bothered to play, I can't be bothered to care. But that's not what it's like. They are bothered to try. They're trying their hardest, and I'm rooting my hardest, and we all are disappointed at the end of the game.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, man. I've taken a couple games off, even like winnable games. The Knicks game on Sunday, I was just like, you know what? I watched two in a row. I can't do it. I'm gonna have to take a break for the night, just for my mental health.
Right.
It's a weird spot.
It's a very healthy relationship we have going with the Timberwolves. That's for darn sure.
God, I just looked up.
Oh no.
The 2012 Wolves. This is just the opposite of what we're experiencing this year. J.J. Barea.
Oh, God.
Michael Beasley.
JJ.
Wesley Johnson. Kevin Love was good. Peck was good.
Peck was fun.
Rubio was good. But, like, Tolliver, Webster, Derek Williams, Luke Ridnour, just every year was, like, seven journeyman losers that we had to talk ourselves into. And this year, the only journeyman types, Lehman and Ed Davis, they don't even play. So,
you remember Juancho Hernan Gomez? Remember how
sure.
They signed him to a long-term deal in the offseason?
That's
and
right.
Now he doesn't even play?
Forgot about that.
He's
yeah,
not hurt.
3 years.
I think we need to stress that he's not hurt. He just can't get off the bench
totally fine.
For this worst team in the league.
Oh, another year. Kevin Martin,
no.
Corey Brewer, Chase Buttinger. We just talked ourselves into these guys. I for sure was like, Chase Buttinger, yeah. Good rotation guy. You know, maybe your fifth best guy. Totally fine. Mo Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we tried that route. We tried the, like, we've got a couple promising guys and then, you know, 11 shitty guys. And that didn't work. That wasn't very fun. Man, it's been rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think tonight's game is going to really give us any hope that things are going to immediately get better. You like to see, you fire the coach, you get a new coach in. Obviously, they haven't had a lot of practice time or anything to really change up the organization. But when you talk about first games, you like to see a little bit more of a new coach bounce than getting beat by 35 points or whatever by
yeah.
a team from one state over. It really doesn't, really is not the response you're looking for out of your team.
Well, I did watch the first half of this game, and it was a very good first half for the most part. They went on the Bucks hit four threes in a row at the end to go on a 12-0 run. All four of them were somebody played really good defense, actually. Hand in their face. They just made some prayer shot. On the other end, the Bucks were just not playing defense, just barely moved, and we just kept bricking shots. So it was the ugliest 12-0 run, the most hard luck, you know, tough luck sort of thing. And I was like, okay, you know what? This is shitty, but no one goes on runs like that very, very often. The Wolves played okay. And boy, was I completely wrong about how I thought the rest of that game would turn out. I thought they might make it a game. Man, the stupidest, the dumbest ever.
Yeah.
They did not make it a game. Mm-mm. Nope.
They also gave up 79 points in the first half, so.
Oof. Yeah, they sure did. They sure did, John.
All right.
Well,
that's probably enough Wolves talk for the rest of the season.
That'd be okay with me. That would be okay with me. Yeah, sometimes I just think I'm gonna stop acknowledging them for this year. I'll just look up the end of year statistics. That'd be interesting. Anything but this. Okay. Let's talk Vikings really quickly.
All right. Do you have another destination for Kirk Cousins?
Well, I don't know if I have another destination, but I definitely want to make sure that we talk about Kirk Cousins and try to will him to go to another destination, another team, just through our positive energy. We like Kirk Cousins. He's been fine to us. We just want to find him his forever home. We're his foster parents. We like you a lot. We don't have room for you long term.
Is this how foster parenting works? I've never been a foster parent.
Foster parent is you take a kid in and then they kind of
bug
you.
If it's not working out, you're like, well,
and you go,
I don't think this is working out.
I feel bad, but yeah, I'm gonna. And then you just start calling other parents and being like, hey, can I trade Jimmy? I like your kid. I love your kid. I will send you Kirk Cousins, a fresh baked batch of Rice Krispie treats, and our couch. So you can have Kirk, Rice Krispie treats, and the couch. And they're like, you're like, okay, fine. I'll also throw in my fat tire bike.
Can you do this Kirk, with regular couch. Children, or is it only foster children?
I mean, nothing stopping you from making those phone calls.
Man.
At all. Things I think that's totally legal to do.
Things are way different in the western suburbs than they are here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, my kids, we did not birth these children. No. They're not our biological.
We traded up to get these children.
Yeah, it took a lot. Yeah, we used to have six kids. We had a lot of two-for-ones. Yeah.
We used to have a bigger house and two more couches and a car.
I had a boat, John. I used to have a fucking boat. I had to trade it in. That's how bad my old kids were.
That's why we call you a maritime wizard.
Yeah, that's right. That's so nice of you to edit out the actual when Stu called me a maritime fuck and you called me a maritime wizard. So thank you for doing that. So I don't necessarily have a new idea. I just want to make sure we talk about it. And we've been talking about it every week. I want to continue talking about it. And I want to make this like a weekly segment. And
you're trying to will it into being.
Yes, so as we're radio professionals, we're part of the Lamestream Media, as you know. Mm-hmm. One way to kind of formalize something like this is to have a name to your weekly segment.
Gotcha.
So I want to have a name to it. So I've got a few suggestions here, and I want you to I have three of them.
Okay.
So I want you to vote, and if you can beat these, I'm all ears. But I'll give you my three, and then you tell me which one you think is best for our new weekly segment of trying to send Kirk Cousins to a different team.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, option one, the Cuz Buzz.
Okay, that's truly terrible. I like it.
I love your polite laughter of my terrible ideas. Okay, number two, Rocks of Our Life. So this is like Days of Our Life. Days of Our Lives.
You should maybe
Rocks of Our Lives.
You should maybe explain the context of that one.
So the story is, and I am not going to look this up, but Kirk Cousins, who is a very nice gentleman, he has been referred to on this podcast as, I believe, a handsome windsock.
Yes,
and a human version of a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. He's well-meaning,
the corniest gentleman alive.
The corniest gentleman of all time. We love you, Kirk. You try so hard. And anyway, as corny gentlemen are wont to do, what they love, their favorite thing in the whole world, is to remind people, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. We gotta seize the day. Carpe diem. Whatever it is. You might wear a necklace that says it. You might get a tattoo. You might just say it a lot or have it be the title of your memoir. Well, Kirk took a spin at this in a pretty funky way, I would say.
Almost,
pretty unique way.
Almost haunting way.
Almost haunting. He has filled up a giant tube, I would say. I think it's known as a tube.
Yeah.
And inside this
tube.
A series of tubes. So he calculated how many days on Earth a person should expect to have. Maybe he said he was going to live to 100. And so he multiplied 365 by 100 and said, that's the number. I'm going to fill that amount of rocks. I don't know when he started this. He probably started when he was 18 or something. Let's just say 20,000 rocks. I don't know. I'm going to put 20,000 rocks inside a gigantic tube. And every day I'm going to pull a new rock out of that tube and put it in my pocket and carry it with me. And knowing I just have this rock for this one day, I'm going to make the best of it. And then at the end of the day, I assume he like goes down to the crick and like skips it and cries.
Well, the secret to his success is that at the end of the day, he looks his wife dead in the eyes and eats that rock.
Doesn't blink.
Doesn't blink
while chewing the rock. So he carries the rock with him.
You don't get a jaw that strong without chewing some rocks.
That's right. What a jaw. What a jawline. So that's why the rocks of our lives is my second one. And then the third is related. I'm calling it As the Tube Turns.
As the Tube Turns.
As the World Turns soap opera. Because the second and third are kind of soap opera-like. Because we're going to be just sort of trying to turn this into a soap opera. Like a not popular one. And we have to just make stuff up because actually none of this matters or is ever going to be.
More of a telenovela than an actual soap opera.
Yep. But I couldn't find any way to make that word work with the words I was thinking about. So,
all right.
Buzz, Rocks of Our Lives as the Tube Turns.
I like Rocks of Our Lives. We're going to stick with Rocks of Our Lives just because every time I think about having a giant tube full of rocks on my own porch, it just makes me laugh because there's no way that glass tube filled with rocks would last more than 3 days before I accidentally tipped it over and
spilled everywhere.
Just shattered it.
You're trapped in your house. It's right in front of your door.
I can't get out of the house. I can't leave.
That's it.
My rock jar is in danger.
Death by rock jar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on this week's Rocks of Our Lives, I was reading on the internet that Peter King has jumped into the fray. He's a featured guest on Rocks of Our Lives this week.
Mm-hmm.
He also thinks there's a way potentially for the Vikings to get Deshaun Watson and send out Kirk Cousins.
Right, but wasn't his way of doing this like, the Vikings trade Kirk Cousins for a first-round pick, then trade that first-round pick, their own first-round pick, two more of their first-round picks, a couple of second-round picks, then two or three players, as I recall as well, plus like Herschel Walker and half of the Mississippi River and the rights to Moses St. Paul, like, it quickly grew absurd, the amount of things that Peter King was going to trade for Deshaun Watson, which, on the one hand, I want to trade for Deshaun Watson as much as the next guy, but on the other hand, I'm old enough to remember the Herschel Walker trade, and is this really what we want to reproduce?
Now, Peter King is a professional. He's an old man. He's been around for a million years.
But he does know what he's talking about more than I do.
He usually seems to know what he's talking about. That said, I kind of think he just like got super high and started writing stuff down and then just pressed publish. It doesn't seem to be sourced by anything. I think he's just making stuff up.
Well,
it's incredible.
Maybe he too is trying to will this move into being.
I would love it. Here's what he said. The Vikings send Kirk Cousins to San Francisco. San Francisco sends Jimmy Garoppolo to Houston. The Texans send Watson to Minnesota. So that's those three.
Yep.
Also, the Niners, in order to do this, send their first round pick, which is 12th overall, to Houston.
Okay.
So essentially, San Francisco trades Garoppolo and the number 12 pick in order to get Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. So basically, they're trading those two things to the Vikings, who the Vikings are then trading to the Texans.
The Vikings also would send Anthony Barr, Alexander Mattison, their first-round pick this year, their first-round pick in 2023, and then second-round picks in 2022 and 2023.
Right.
So Houston would get Jimmy Garoppolo, two number ones this year, the 12th and the whatever we have, 14th, it says, number one in 2023, and a couple second-round picks. Now, I still have, like, where did he come up with Alexander Mattison? Just, why is he part of this? Right. What on earth?
Well,
what the fuck is he talking about?
The part like, that at
is
least...
Alexander Mattison, like, is he part of this for any reason? Is there salary cap issues? Is he supposed to be, like, a thing that Houston's calling about? And like, hey, I heard you guys got that guy who had 11 carries last year. I really, really got to have that guy in this.
Just going down the roster. Just... All right, who's their second best back? Alexander Mattison. Yeah, that guy.
It's great. I mean, I love it. This would be very fun. My question here is, if you're a 49ers fan, would you be super pumped to trade the number 12th pick and Jimmy G to get Kirk Cousins? Maybe? Is that a maybe?
No.
I feel like I'd be a little bummed out. Be like, geez, man, that's a pretty good pick. Graps is okay. And so that's like the number one thing that makes me think this probably wouldn't happen. But also, if you're Houston, why would you want Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because you have to have a quarterback on your team.
But they're getting number 12 and number 14. And wouldn't you go, I mean, there's other teams you could trade for that have like a better quarterback than Garopps. Wouldn't you just go find Tua at that point?
Well, the funny thing about Jimmy Garoppolo's presence in all these trades is you look at the potential for the Vikings to trade Kirk Cousins to the 49ers. And basically, that trade would be Kirk Cousins for the 49ers first-round pick, and then Jimmy Garoppolo, their starting quarterback, basically is just a throw-in because it's like, oh yeah, and we don't need this guy anymore, so rather than us release him, why don't we just trade him to you, and then you can do whatever you want with it.
Right.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me about that Peter King trade is it's not like the Vikings really have to overwhelm the Texans because otherwise they would never consider trading Deshaun Watson. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to play there anymore. He's trying to find a way out. I'm not sure the Texans have the wherewithal to extract a ransom from anyone, much less the Vikings, for a guy who legitimately doesn't want to play for the team anymore.
Yeah, but you got to bid against other teams.
True, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about the NFL trade market to know what that looks like, but presumably they're not going to have to trade Anthony Barr and 12 picks and everybody else that they have to make that happen.
I mean, they can't give up Alexander Mattison.
Well, I mean, that was a deal breaker for me.
Break. Yeah. You had me until Mattison.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe it could happen.
Yeah, and there was another, Courtney Cronin, who is an ESPN writer, also said maybe Cousins would go to San Francisco. So there's some smoke.
There does seem to be a fair amount of smoke about the Cousins to San Francisco thing, but the Watson to the Vikings thing seems a little bit more like wishful thinking.
Oh, yeah, totally. This other, Courtney Cronin, said Jimmy Garoppolo in a second-round pick.
For Cousins?
For Cousins.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that seems like a normal sort of NFL trade.
We love our little foster son, Kirk. He's just such a sweet boy. We have to get him somewhere where he's really going to shine, and he just can't do it here, you know? That said, as we know, and we say at every single week we go over our latest episode of Rocks of Our Lives, we know that Kirk Cousins is going to be on the team next year, but
right,
it's fun to dream.
Somehow he'll also be playing defense next year.
I've got another dream for you.
All right.
If we're going to dream, why don't we dream in a manner that gets us our Teddy Bridgewater back?
I think that's an excellent idea. It hasn't gone poorly with getting Ricky Rubio back, so.
Yes, exactly. Boy, that's been everything we dreamed it would be.
Everything we dreamed.
Ugh, I worry that Teddy would be the exact same scenario.
where he would be so amazing that other people wouldn't be able to see how great he was.
They wouldn't be able to admit that they were wrong. Yeah. Right. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
But I think that Carolina's got a top pick. They may get another guy. I don't know how to get there. Maybe next week. This will be a cliffhanger on Rocks of Our Lives. We'll explain exactly how we can get Teddy Bridgewater back.
Coming up next week on Rocks of Our Lives.
Rocks of Our Lives.
How's Teddy looking?
We know that Chicken would be all about this. We know that he, not projecting, thinks that Mike Zimmer loved Teddy as well. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be a big cap hit. I think we can create our own smoke and try to make a fire on this one.
Well, that's
it solves a lot of problems.
That's what Rocks of Our Lives is for.
Rocks of Our Lives. We should try to get a sponsor. If there's any like construction company,
gravel pit
that's nearby. Yeah, there's a lot of landscapers. If anybody wants to sponsor the Rocks of Our Lives weekly segment, I'm going to go ahead. You should talk to our ad sales guys, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it will cost you $20.
It'll cost you 1 yard of class 5 crust gravel per week.
$20 or one wheelbarrow of rocks delivered to John's driveway, just at the end of the driveway. One wheelbarrow. Okay, well, that'll be next week on Rocks of Our Lives. Okay, John, last thing. I want to talk about the Twins.
I want to talk about the Twins, too. Spring training has started, Brandon.
Spring training has started. It completely snuck up on me. We've talked about this a lot as a society. I talk to the society a lot. The Roaring Twenties are going to happen again a century after the first Roaring Twenties happened.
Right.
Every time there's something terrible, like the Spanish flu in 1918, the Roaring Twenties were right after it. People were having fun. They were having the rocks of their lives, really. And I think this is going to happen in our society.
That's right.
Why not have it kick off with this Minnesota Twins season finally winning a playoff game? It could happen, John.
It's funny how this playoff losing streak has gone on so long that the Twins fans probably have the lowest bar of any team for what success looks like this season. They don't need to win the division. They just need to make the playoffs and win a playoff game. It doesn't matter if they win a playoff series, but winning one playoff game would be enough.
I'm gonna buy some champagne now and just chill it, just waiting for that single playoff victory, that one game. Just have it ready.
They go on to be swept or to lose the series 3-1, and everyone in Minnesota is just celebrating. There's a parade down Hennepin Avenue.
Oh, we don't even remember the losses. It's just a full week-long bender. The Roaring Twenties will have begun with that one playoff win. Yeah. But I don't know. I think I need to be more excited about this team, and I haven't been. I just haven't been paying attention.
Right.
Well, why would we not be super excited? They're awesome.
I've got kind of a quiz for you here, Brandon. In the interest of not paying attention, I'm going to read some names.
Shit.
And you're going to tell me whether these guys are currently on the Twins or no longer on the Twins. Or maybe have never been on the Twins.
Please say Andrew Albers.
You ready? Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's start. The free space. Andrew Albers.
Andrew Albers is part of the Twins organization. Again.
I don't think when Andrew Albers signed with the Twins, the minor league deal with the invite to spring training or whatever, I don't think even Andrew Albers' family members got as many messages as Brandon did. The poor guy.
I cannot believe I'm tied to that. The dumbest mistake I've ever made, I think, as a person was how I confused Andrew Albers with some other guy who sucks too. Meyer, I think it was.
It was just
Trevor May.
He started out so amazing. He had two starts. He threw 17 and a third scoreless innings over his first two starts as a Minnesota Twin. And Brandon,
I thought he was 21.
Got
he was
him
actually
confused.
36.
Thought he was an amazing prospect. He turned out to be 31 years old while this happened.
So embarrassing. They're like, what? He's been in the minors for 16 seasons. Like, oh my God. I thought he was like a first round pick.
Ever since then, anytime he's done anything, he was in Japan for a couple of years, or maybe Korea. I'm not sure which one he was in. He was overseas for a couple of years. He's been in the minors and with occasional major league appearances. And anytime anybody tweeted the words Andrew Elvers in connection with any transaction, the podcast account and Brandon himself would get 19 tweets from people just talking about the life and times of Andrew Elvers. It's been glorious. Andrew Elvers on the Twins, so we'll give you that free space. All right? Andrew Vasquez,
I think, was on the White Sox in like the mid-90s, so I'm going to say no.
I'm sorry, that's not correct. He is a Twins bullpen guy. I think all of these are Twins bullpen guys, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Zach Littell.
Oh, fuck. I've heard of that dude. Now the question is if he's still on the team.
Right.
I'm going to say he is.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. He's left the organization. All right. Tyler Clippard
is not
correct
on the team anymore.
Also left the organization. Now, knowing that, Tyler Duffy.
Tyler Duffy is on the team still. They need
also
him.
Correct.
He's like
also correct.
An actual guy. Yep.
Let's see. Who else is on this list? Jorge Alcala.
Young flamethrower, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think that they probably kept him around. I think he's on the team.
That's correct. Still on the team. Cole Stewart.
Oh, my God. No way. There's no way Cole Stewart's still on the team.
Also correct. Cole Stewart, I don't think he's been on the team for 2 years.
Okay.
All right.
I think he actually plays in the Riverview League and my league.
All right. Another one. Matt Wisler.
Okay. This dude was picked up kind of a waiver wire dude, and he was really surprisingly good. And if I remember right, for some reason, they got weirded out by him and decided to not make him a very reasonable offer. And I think the old Whistling Straits has moved on to another org.
That's correct. Oh, that was too good not to end on. That was so good.
Wow.
I think all of that was actually right.
Amazing.
You've done amazingly well here.
While we were doing that, I looked up Andrew Albers' stats. Now, if you remember, the reason that this was so laughable was I predicted that he would win 80 games in his career. And that was the funny part. Now, I'm not including the minors, but I am including foreign victories. Because that's okay.
How about high school victories? Are those in there too?
54 wins.
54.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So what you're telling me is even if we do include college and high school, he still might not be at 80.
That's right. Yep. If you include all the levels he's played in his entire career, he has 86 victories. So in some ways, I think we all agree that I won that prediction.
Right.
We all agree.
I just absolutely have to go research here and see if I can find out how many games Andrew Elvers won in college.
It's hard. Did they have stats in the mid-90s in college?
All right, here we go. I've got his – he played at Kentucky, by the way.
Oh, wow. What a stud.
So he had 54 wins in – basically, he was not real good at Kentucky, I'm not going to lie. So he had 54 plus, it looks like he had 20 wins in college. So we're up to 74.
Okay. All right. And by the way, the story is still going. It's not over yet. So
this is amazing.
I'm rooting for him. I don't think you should be shocked about that. John, how are your feelings? Like, zero is like 1997 Twins with like our best player was Scott Stachowiak.
Yeah. Otis Nixon somehow playing 140 games.
Oh my God. And 10 is you're 9 years old. The Twins just won it all in 1991. That 1992 season's coming up, and you're like, we're unbelievable. We're the best. If that's right. A 1 to 10, where do you rank? What's your level of excitement right now?
I think after they re-signed Nelson Cruz, and it's a little strange to be excited about the large number of sort of back of the rotation guys they've got, but just getting Erickson Hap and Matt Shoemaker and all of these guys who could potentially fill out these 8 or 9 starters that you might need to get through a season. I feel like I'm at a solid 8 for this season.
Mm-hmm. Good. I was hoping you'd be an 8 or 9. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they may not win the division. I saw the over-unders came out today, and the Twins were at 88.5, and the White Sox were at 90.5. So,
wow,
really? Clearly Vegas, or at least the money guys, think that the White Sox are going to be better than the Twins. But also, Baseball Prospectus had the Twins as pretty solid favorites for the Central. So, you could go either way on that one. But it seems like they've got a better than even odds of making the playoffs. And as we mentioned, I just want them to get back to the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game.
Just win one, boys. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm trying to really rev myself up to be even more excited for lots of reasons. We need a win. We need to kick off the Roaring Twenties, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's one of those seasons where not a ton has changed year over year. But that should be a good thing. The Dodgers, for however many years, just didn't change a whole lot. And it just works sometimes if you stick with the same guys who have been pretty successful. So Cruz is back. Donaldson's back.
Buxton's
going to look good in his 12 games.
Yeah. They need Buxton to stay healthy. Donaldson has not played a full season 3 out of the last 4 years or whatever. Cruz is 40 years old now. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's 22 or whatever, but there's a lot of those questions. Will Sano have a good year, or will he have one of those years where he struggles except hits 14 home runs in a 2-week period? What is all that look like? And I think every team in baseball probably has those same health and production-related questions, but obviously the health there is going to be key in some of their frontline rotation guys, but again, who's not in the same boat that if your first two starters get hurt, you're like, that's fine. We'll be fine. This team is all right.
Yeah. I just realized something that might be potentially devastating for my Roaring Twenties to kick off. We're not going to be able to watch the Twins.
That I feel like as the last person on Earth who still has cable television, I feel like I am probably more excited about this year than anybody else, because I'm going to have no problem watching the Twins. But
everyone I talk to
is basically saying the same thing, which is, well, I can't watch the Twins, and so screw them. They're garbage. I hate them.
I feel like you should have some sort of exception to go get a vaccine, so then you can have people over to your house to watch the Twins.
Exactly.
Should be some sort of Fox Sports vaccine that comes with it.
Well, if you're not going to take a vaccine produced by Sinclair Media, who are you going to take a vaccine from?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm willing myself to get Cousins traded and care about the Twins like crazy.
I'd like to say publicly that if one of you guys can get me a vaccine, you can absolutely come over to my house and watch the Twins every night. That's fine with me.
So a couple offers on the table. There's the landscaping company sponsorship.
Yep.
And the Sinclair vaccine.
Let's make it happen. So you are not going to even switch back to cable for this, Brandon?
No. No. Just too big of a hassle.
Who do you have internet through?
Xfinity.
See, now, they'll. I'm not trying to sell for Xfinity here, but you're in the same boat I was.
And I have Hulu.
Right.
For my TV.
Which
so you think
costs a
cancel
fair
that.
Of, well, yeah, you cancel Hulu, and you get cable, and you get one of their bundling deals, and they charge you all sorts of fees. Like, it, back in the day, they used to come up with names for their fees when you got cable. Now, there's literally a line item on the bill that's like, regional sports fee. Like, $10 a month, it just says regional sports fee. Well, whatever. That's fine. But even when you put all of the fees together and stuff, I think I still paid less for internet and television than I did for internet and then having Hulu or YouTube or whoever else for streaming TV.
My God. This, there's part of it, too, that I'm just like, I'm dealing with a lot of dad pride right now.
Right. I feel like
that's
that
a barrier.
That's the main barrier for a lot of people.
Oh, man. Do you know how morally just above everybody I felt when I first cut the cord before others? I was like, oh, my God, you're still paying for cable? Ugh. I remember being, like, that dumb. So for me to go back on that, that's just – but that might be a bridge too far, John.
But that was back when Hulu or whatever, you could get Sling for $20 a month or something like that.
I did have Sling for $20 a month, and it was perfect.
It was the greatest thing ever, and then all of a sudden it was $35 a month, and then it was $45 a month, and then you switched to Hulu because it was $35 a month, and now it's $60 a month. And at some point you got to step back and be like, this is not any better.
Ooh, man, swallowing your pride. That seems like something other people would do. It's not really a thing for me. Now, do you have to have the giant dish on your roof?
No, but I have cable, remember.
Oh, right, right, right.
I know
thought there was some sort
I know
of
it's
like...
been a while since you've had cable, but you may have forgotten how it works.
No, I thought it was like a bundling with DirecTV and Xfinity kind of together for some reason. I guess I... Totally.
No, I would find it surprising if Xfinity, the cable company, was selling DirecTV.
Partnering with DirecTV, that would be super weird.
I guess anything's possible.
I got Hulu through YouTube. Yeah. Yep. That's how I... That's weird. Yeah, I don't know how
I only
it works,
watch Hulu
but I guess they're
YouTube.
Partnering. Yeah, I don't know. YouTube.com/Hulu. And then you sign in from there.
That's where I go
and,
for all of my TV needs.
You enter your Netflix password. It's weird, but it works.
It works.
Right. Well, still not as dumb as my Andrew Albers prediction, so we've got a long, long way to go. Well, damn it, John. That was humbling.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to feel good about it. I'm not saying you're going to even save all that much money, but it is just about the only way you can still watch the Twins.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And I do need to watch them. It's the Roaring Twenties.
And honestly, if I get out, if I'm not watching the Twins and the Wild and the Timberwolves and whoever else is left on cable, there's really no reason to have cable anymore.
Yeah, true. Well, what about the wife? Does she not have her shows, her stories?
She does watch shows, but she's perfectly happy watching a million episodes of some show from Netflix or CBS or whatever in a row. And
she doesn't need the new...
No, she is not up to date on any show. I think at any given time, she's likely watching a show that aired on CBS in the early 2000s. Like, you can't really picture
Match made in heaven.
What's going on. You can't really picture what's going on in the show, but you can close your eyes and hear Jim Nantz reading promos for it on Sunday afternoon football, like, tonight on an all-new Numbers.
Medium.
Right.
Wow. Okay, well, that's another barrier that you've crossed that I'm going to have to talk to the old missus about because
Is Danielle up to date on the shows? She's
there's no human being who's ever loved TV as much as my wife. She just loves the TV, just watches every show, loves it. Her favorite thing in the world. Sitting
on
the couch. Does she have a secret
burner Twitter account to be part of the Twitter? The Twitters shows? Like every show has a Twitter that goes with it.
She doesn't have time for Twitter, man. She's too busy
watching the
TV shows. Yeah,
she's pure.
Her love of television is pure. Yeah, she doesn't need other people talking about it. She just cares about the show. She's very committed to all the Real Housewives, every single one of them.
How many Real Housewives are there?
Well, there's definitely like the California, there's New Jersey, Atlanta. I think there was a Dallas one at one point. There's probably like a couple New York. Oh, yeah, there's a couple New York ones. I bet there's like six of them. And then there's like The Bachelor. There's like three of those types of series.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of knockoff Real Housewife things with like, oh, these people work on a boat and these people work in a restaurant and these people just are rich. There's not even a conception behind it. They're just like rich young people. She's probably got like 12 shows currently that she just watches. Isn't that incredible?
So TV is to your wife as European soccer is to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I get that.
She's all about it. Yeah. She's into it. We all have our passions. I'm out of content, bud.
I want you to host a podcast with your wife about Real Housewives.
I'll ask her that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you think it's time for us to branch out?
Yep. I think it's time for us to get away from talking to our friends every week and start talking to our wives every week about what they're...
It's pretty new.
I'll get Lisa. We'll talk about old CBS shows, and you can talk about Real Housewives, and...
Lisa will have like a recap of like the 2007 Criminal Minds. It's so interesting.
That may actually happen.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, let's wrap it up, John. This was great. Another episode of The Nice Guys. I think that's what we call ourselves.
I want to say for the record that here we are at an hour and 10 minutes, and this afternoon we were texting about this, and Brandon said, well, we might just have to call this one a short one because I don't think we have much content. And I was very confident that we would blabber on until everyone's ears were bleeding, and I was right. I'm right again. 307 times in a row I've been correct.
When like we were like a year into it, we were like, we should just do single topic, quick hitter. We'll call it shortives. We'd love that idea. And so we have been discussing doing those for 7 or 8 years now, and we've never once actually done a shortive, I don't think.
Right. We might have, didn't we try once?
Yeah.
Maybe you did one with your basketball buddies. I can't remember.
Possibly. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, once you press record, it's like, well, I'm here. I might as well settle in.
The struggles of actually scheduling this podcast are such that if you actually get anyone on the telephone, it seems hardly, there's no point in actually keeping it short. And it's not like anyone's listening anyway. So
no.
Trying to do that on behalf of the listeners so that they can get on with their lives really makes no sense whatsoever.
I suppose for some of these ambitious podcasts, they think through things such as staying interesting, pacing, actual topics and takes, and it's just not for us. I mean, no. If you guys want something like that, you know where to go.
There
literally
are so many
any
places,
other podcast.
So many people that are good at this, and you can probably give them your money and get things.
And in turn, they care about you and your time. They value your time. That's just...
The only thing we can offer you is that you'll never have to pay for this crap.
You'll never have to pay for it. And in exchange, we will not care about your time.
In exchange, we're just going to do whatever the heck we want.
That's
it's a great trade-off. It's a bargain.
It's our promise.
Everybody wins.
Okay, John. This was fun.
This was. Good talking to you. This is good. Nice guys out.
Nice guys out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.